Podcasting 2.0 for November 11th, 2022, episode 110, Paws and Claws. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Podcasting 2.0. It is the official board meeting of the most exciting thing in technology today, and you're a part of it. That's right. Come on in. Everybody's welcome. You'll hear all about the namespace, the progress, podcastindex.org, improvements, updates, fun stuff, and of course, the down and dirty sleaves from podcastindex.social. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country and in Alabama, the best partner a man can imagine. Say hello to my friend on the other end, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Dave Jones.
You're the rainstorm cowboy?
I am the rainstorm cowboy.
This, I've got a proposal right out of the bat. I mean,
Really?
That's the wrong way to say it. You don't say right out of the bat, right off the bat. That's what I'm saying.
Wow. I mean, before the intro music's even over, I mean, no banter, yeah. no funny stuff back and forth. You're straight to biz. Okay, ladies and gentlemen,
this is
the board
proposal.
Meeting is open. All right.
I propose that we create a cryptocurrency.
Here we go.
To fund Podcast Index, and we'll call it like something like PCC.
No, how about the Podcast Coin? Just Pod.
Pod, yeah, P-O-D.
Just to make it obvious, we love it so much. Pod, yes, okay.
Then we somehow get it, we do some magical behind-the-scenes things to get it valued roughly $22 a share, a coin. Then we go out and we leverage it.
We invest in a lot of companies. We start a nonprofit foundation.
That too, yeah. These are all great ideas that I didn't even think of originally, but they all fit. So we just do all that, and then everything will turn out fine, and it will be great for the rest of our life.
Well, we don't have to dwell on that too much, but of course, we're talking about the cryptocurrency meltdown, and let's just say once again, there's a difference between cryptocurrencies and Bitcoin, and look at who will be left standing. This is all going to go to zero, except Bitcoin. Even the dollar eventually will go to zero against Bitcoin. But we won't be around to witness that. But eventually, we won't be here to witness that. But
Do you want to go? Do you want to like run?
No, not really.
Yes,
run through. Do you think it's necessary?
Yes, I do.
I think
people they're getting used to Satoshis and getting used
to
Bitcoin as a way to pay people within podcast apps.
Okay.
And then they need to understand
you're right.
Going on.
You're right. I'm sorry. You're right. You're right. You are right.
Start with FTX, FTT.
No, let me start with any cryptocurrency. No, I'm not going to start with that. Any cryptocurrency. You put me on the spot, you're going to get it.
Start with FTT.
No. By the way, I do not talk to my wife this way. Contrary to popular opinion.
I also do not talk to my wife.
So, any cryptocurrency that has a CEO, by definition, is not decentralized. Bitcoin does not have a CEO. So when you have a CEO of something, and in this case, not just of an exchange where you can trade and buy and sell different, quote, cryptos, but also the CEO of one of the actual cryptos itself, you have to understand that structure is, in fact, the antithesis of Bitcoin. Whenever you have a centralized authority and even Ethereum, and I don't want to get into all of that. That's why I just want to be careful. But if it has a CEO, it's just by definition, it's not going to be decentralized. Someone calls the shots. Someone has some control over something.
Yeah.
And what has happened, and this is something that's built up over a long amount of time, is because it was so misunderstood exactly what cryptocurrency is. But, you know, as long as it's on an exchange, you can trade it and it has a value. People eventually started trusting that. And there's billions and you look at SBF, Sam Bankman-Fried. He's on Fortune magazine. He's the new JP Morgan. He's the next Warren Buffett. I mean, and it's true. Yeah. But all of this ultimately, and I'm making some big shortcuts here, is all based upon the real problems, not just the exchanging of coins back and forth. That's kind of an outgrowth of the core business, which is give us your Bitcoin, an actual valuable asset that has no CEO, no centralization, that you can become a part of with some dice and a pencil and a pad. They say, give us your Bitcoin. We'll store it here. And then they use that as collateral for their own coins and other coins that they hold as a, you know, as a quote, you know, stable asset. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, you have already relinquished that Bitcoin. So it's not yours at that point already. But it really is the basis of, you know, as a part of it, because there's also other assets. So on top of that, now they start to leverage it. And the hook is, well, we're going to give you 8, 10, 12, 15% interest on the Bitcoin that you store with us. Now, how does
but
that?
But it's in the form of FTT.
It's in the form of their coin. Exactly. But even you know, with that said, they were either bringing in new people with new Bitcoin to pay that, you know, that because eventually people want to withdraw in Bitcoin. So you do have to have some Bitcoin that you can give to them. And they were also creating, you know, their own coin behind it. So the minute you got some problems in the market and a competitor, and there's a whole history there, said, yeah, hey, you know, we're dumping $500 million. We don't trust this guy. Then you get a classic bank run. And, you know, the way all fractional banking, everything with the CEO works this way is you have maybe 10, 20, you know, maybe 1% of the actual assets that you have outstanding because you don't expect a bank run because you have trust. The thing that's interesting in this case is this FBF character who has a very well-connected family, highly politically connected, was the top third donor, political donor across the board in this midterm election, mainly for, I think only for Democrats. But you know, has a foundation, you know, doing good for the world, but he pretty much admitted openly that he was basically running a Ponzi scheme, which is the definition of how these things were working. And there's a lot of hate for him now because, you know, the whole thing eventually collapses. Like, go watch It's a Wonderful Life. You know, that's the base. It's just A Wonderful Life all over again, only this time in Technicolor. And I would say the thing that I noticed, and Dave, you and I talked about this, we have to go into great detail about the event itself, but he was doing an interview, and at a certain point, all of a sudden, you see him like realize that what he's saying is complete garbage, and that he's full of crap, and that it was like some mind control programming that he snapped himself out of it. You could see, and I think based upon the hype of the financial industry, who should know better? And by the way, BlackRock invested, Sequoia Capital invested, some Canadian unions invested. This whole thing, everyone was complicit.
Yeah.
They really were. And so this poor kid who's pretty young, who looks pretty introverted and maybe easy to mind control, man, let's throw some hookers on that guy. Imagine what you can do.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking how other people think, people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so He was, you know, proverbially smoking his own dope. And so the whole thing came crumbling down. But now we're going to see the contagion. And the reason, in my belief, why Bitcoin goes down, besides trust in overall cryptocurrencies at this moment, is the liquidation of Bitcoin. They have to be selling Bitcoin to try and get out of as many bad positions as quickly as possible as this thing spirals all the way down. Yeah. So very classic, but there's thousands of coins and things connected to, you know, to these types of organizations. I think we'll see more, and they may not be all exchanges, but, you know, there's a lot of coins that will go out of existence, and there's more pain to come. But in the meantime, if you look around and look on Twitter, you'll see that, you know, people say, well, yeah, Bitcoin seems like it's going down, but, you know, it's also bouncing back up. It seems to be resilient, and there's reasons why. And it's because it truly is decentralized. No one calls the shots, no one who has to do a mea culpa at the end of a meltdown like SBF. How was that?
Beautiful explanation.
18 minutes of wasted energy. Oh, I'm sorry, nine. No, actually, only nine.
No, you just, in your head, it seemed like it took twice as long. No, I think that's a good thing to go over, because you have people, I mean, this stuff is hard to understand.
Yeah, like, all of a sudden, you're right.
all of a sudden you've got Bitcoin that's at 20,000, bump in 21, and literally the next day it's at 17. And it's not all psychology. There are technical factors that are happening in other parts of the market that are affecting that. Like in this scenario, the two big players were Binance and FTX. Nobody knows, but Binance, they could be in trouble too.
Definitely.
This would be what they did by essentially doing a call on all of their, FTX. They sold it all. They drove the price down to almost zero, and then they could have done that purely on a defensive move. They look at the chessboard and they say, okay, we're the two big players. We don't want to die, so we're just going to go ahead and get rid of FTX. We're going to sacrifice FTX to preserve ourselves.
Maybe. I mean, the conspiracy theories are all over the place. Like, this guy was always a shill, and Biden came out and said, yeah, we need regulation on cryptocurrency. That could be part of it. So I don't know, but it's like...
I
want to talk about podcasting because I'm really excited.
Okay. Well, I've got stuff to talk about, but you feel like you seems like you've got something going. Why don't you fire it up? What do you got?
Well, what I wanted to do to start off is have everybody take a little mental snapshot of this moment.
Snapshotting. Got it.
Because all of you are part of it. And so 18 years from now, when people are talking about 2.0, you're going to say, yeah, I was great in the beginning. It was crazy. It was insane. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Man, there is stuff happening, Dave. I mean, we are so off to the races. Oh, my God. Todd Cochran is like, did you hear the new media show?
I haven't heard any podcasts in the last 3 days. Oh,
okay, because I got done listening to, and we'll talk about Pod News weekly review in a minute. But I was about maybe halfway through new media show, and Todd is just like, he's really deep into value for value. He's just going over it bit by bit. He's educating, he's excited, he's got ideas, he got secret meetings, it's like there's big stuff coming down the pipe, he's saying that people will be really surprised about podcasting 2.0. I'm like, damn. I'm find out what Todd knows. This is good.
Secret meetings. I like this.
I love secret meetings. James, I'm going to put Big Baller into the show notes for today. He needed hold on a second. If I don't do that right away, then I might forget it. Hold on a second.
Yeah.
Because he had a Big Baller boost and he was like, well, if I could have the...
just like Jay. You've been practicing.
I have been practicing. If it was in the repo, no.
You've been standing all week in front of a mirror trying to practice that.
Pretty much. No, but the amount of apps, and I would say mainly the external stuff that is popping up. So I was listening to James, I guess from Pod News, but it's an Australian company, so it makes sense. And Pod News in Review is this Vizzy, V-I-Z-Z-Y, Vizzy.fm.
And yeah, those guys, we had them on the show. Yep.
Right, but now they have cloud chapters.
Yeah, I saw that. Nick is the guy over at Vizzy, yeah. And he's been saying that they've been working on that for a while. It was really cool to see that finally emerge. I have not looked at the app yet to see what's going on there.
We have porn producers in our midst now. Some major league podcast porn. This Conshax thing, Conshax, the value for value dashboard. Uh-huh. Dude, I'm going to start doing screenshots and posting them and. On
Reddit.
Yeah, on Reddit. it's true porn. I mean, it's like you're looking at, there's so many ways to slice and dice your statistics, and your statistics are based on money. So it's like skipping this whole industry in the middle. Instead of looking at your stats in your dashboard for your hosting company, oh, it looks like, I can't believe there's 10 people in Iceland. Man, this is really great. And, how do I do? And is my audience growing? And then do I have enough to get some ads? And, I got $24, whatever. But now... It's like you cut all that out and you're actually already doing analysis on money, but you don't view it as money. It's like, it's statistics. It's listening minutes. It's loyalty. They have all these little algos that run. And if I understand it, and this is the impressive part, is this built with WebAssembly? Is my browser doing all this work?
Yes.
That is mind blowing. So there's no server.
So did they get it to where it could handle your volume?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
No, not even close. I mean, so here's the, and it's so interesting because of the experience we have with Helipad. I can feel what's going on. I know how things draws and batches in from your node. So in essence, what you're doing is you're connecting your web browser with a virtual machine with an application running and a database and all kinds of stuff, I guess, you're connecting that to your Albi wallet and it's then bringing in through, the traditional protocols, is bringing in your data. So first of all, I mean, I have almost 200,000 transactions that just gets me to, I think when I started using GetAlbi around the beginning of October, but it takes a long time for it to load everything in, and then
it's starting in oldest and going to the newest.
It's starting at newest and going to oldest. Thank goodness.
Oh,
so
I see.
You can start using it right away, although, and it is good. It's dynamic. So as you're looking at it, like the most supported episode will change dynamically, so without refreshing anything. But it's without having a full spectrum. Yeah, so I don't really know when I have 7 days or 30 days. Do I have it all in there? It shows me that's loading, but I need a timeline, which would be cool. Say, okay, this is how far back in the database it is, or this is how far back you want to go. And then in general, and I'm using Brave, just to let you know, it's a little on the slowish side with that amount of data. It's still mind-boggling I've just been using it for, analyzing the difference between the No Agenda 15th anniversary week episodes, which, by the way, would be so cool to overlay that with some OP3 data. Oh my God, I'm getting wood here. This is so cool. So, but what I mean is that in addition to all this, the TXT tag, which seems to be garnering support, and there's some opportunities. I think people are seeing this. Thank you to everybody who trusts us with your GUIDs. I mean, I know it's the same trust as with your value block, and obviously the feed is the ultimate source of truth. But that's a responsibility that I don't take lightly.
What do you mean trust with your GUIDs? I don't understand what that means.
Well, because we're driving the GUID project, and we're now the place to look up your GUID.
Oh, yeah. I see what you mean. Well, that has to get better. So that's part of what I've been thinking about this week. And there has to be a quick GUID resolution thing, because this is going to start tying into everything.
Like a DNS?
Yeah, I mean, there has to be a GUID resolver that's open and doesn't need an API key and things like that. And I'm thinking about...
That is so cool. A GUID resolver. Nice.
Yeah.
It's a marketing dream. Okay, keep going.
Yeah, so let's just say, podcastguid.io or whatever, and you slash the GUID, and it gives you back the feed URL. It just needs to be that simple. There has to be
Super fast. And super fast. Yeah, of course.
And I'm thinking, I'm thinking that I don't want to tie that to the index API. I'd rather Because you, I mean, you still get the GUI through the Index API, but I'd like to have it
just as a standalone,
separate.
Standalone.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, mm-hmm. and possibly through a Cloudflare worker with
absolutely. Yeah.
Just so that it's boom, boom, boom. You can just hit it 1,000 times a second.
Yeah,
and
something
it's fine.
Something that it, in event of total meltdown, someone could compile it from GitHub and have it up and running in a couple hours.
Yeah, it's got to just keep working.
Yeah,
it's just got to keep working all the time, because that's where we're going with this. Because here's a, I don't know if you've been keeping an eyeball on the discussions around like updating external, assets, like updating external assets like chapter transcripts, blah blah blah.
Dave, I know everything.
Okay.
But refresh my memory.
Since you are intimately familiar with updating external assets, like I would like to refresh your memory on the sometimes problematic nature of that.
Oh, you said problematic. That in itself is problematic.
On the sometimes problematory nature of that.
Well solved. Yes.
The said sometimes you update the chapters, as in no agenda.
Yep.
After the fact, a few hours later,
yep,
and nobody knows you did it. So you have to go check, and then you're back to the...
Now, I do, if I may. If I may interject.
You may.
Thank you. The process, as I understood it, is I can update that, and then I can... I hit podping again. Of course, I don't have a reason code. So, mm-hmm. so it would still be up to the individual apps and podcast, and in fact, podcast index as to how that is handled. Is that not the expected way with a reason code in the future?
There, that is a proposed way with a reason code in the future from Alex. Mm-hmm. He has proposed on the GitHub a notify reason code of update EXT. Which would say, the feed didn't update.
Oh, right.
The external resources.
Update external resources. Nice one.
Yes, and that ties to the GUID. So we need the GUID resolver in place before we can move forward with some of these other things.
Why do we need the GUID resolver in that spot?
Because it's going to reference the updated...
Oh, for speed.
Item.
For speed, it'll be this GUID updated.
Right. And so, then you
so
also
short,
have,
is it short? Is it like a new, I'm sorry to keep interrupting, but I'm very excited.
No, you're fine.
Is this kind of like so will Podping soon also just be accepting GUIDs instead of URLs or in addition to?
Nah, probably not. I mean, cause that's coming from, that's TBD.
Okay.
Well,
jumping ahead and ruining the politics.
Remote,
I got it.
No. Remote item also needs GUID. So we're
Heck yeah.
Yeah. So we need GUID on that thing.
GUID. Hold on. Hey baby, what's your GUID? Hold on a second. I'm writing these down. T-shirt. Hello shop. Hello podcast index shop. What's your GUID, babe?
Have GUID? ?
Yeah. Ooh. Where's the GUID? Where's the GUID?
Yeah, so that we need that. That's I like I feel GUID. That's good. I like that Harv hat. Yeah, we need that. So that's going to be something that moves up the priority.
Hold on a
for
second.
Me.
Stop.
Mm, yes.
Ice Cube stop. Soup is semi trolling, saying this is so painful. I think to listen to. I think if instead of being cryptic and a douchebag, because he says, too bad there wasn't already a globally scaled system which provided for lookup of arbitrary key / value data, which has been proven at an immense scale over the course of decades, that. You mean you just want to say, hey, how about DNS? Is that what you wanted to say? Be a little productive, bro. Good.
Yeah, I don't want to put...
He says, I nailed the voice. I know, of course I did.
Can I lodge a protest? I did not know that this was a troll room. I thought this was a chat room. And I did not know that trolls were invading this, but whatever.
Oh, no. But that's my fault. You know, with me comes the good and the bad. The good and the bad.
Okay, but DNS, I don't want to put 5 million records in DNS, please.
The good, the bad, and the ugly.
That's a good one, actually. That's pretty good. I'm not, you know, you do whatever you want, but I'm not putting, you know, 5-6 million records in DNS. I'm just not doing that. And I'm not building my own back end for a DNS front end. This is madness. We need this.
The pod sage has spoken. This is madness.
Yes. And this is not happening. So yes, this will be a thing, but it will not be based on poor DNS, because then everybody will say, you know, the problem is always GUIDs.
Hey man, you can get the handshake HNS name for that. Buy my shitcoin.
Yeah, that's how we'll fund it.
Yeah. All right, what's your idea, Smarty Pants?
Me?
Yeah.
Just a straight HTTP resolver. DNS, by the way, DNS, if you haven't noticed, right, is moving off of it. It's going away from UDP and going to DNS over HTTPS mm-hmm. anyway. Mm-hmm. World is HTTP now.
A resolver for you may, I mean, I understand the concept of a resolver. What's the stack?
What stack
do you use for said revolver? Resolver. Revolver. The GUID revolver.
That's good also revolver. Good. So it's just a single call. It's just like, you know, the stack would be Cloudflare, hopefully.
I got you.
It would just be like, you know.
Right. But so do you put that in a database or is that just flat file? How does that work?
Well, it's they have their, I forgot what it's called. It's like distributed block storage or not block storage, but it's like their version of DynamoDB or whatever. I wish I could remember the name of it. It's what John Spurlock's using for OP3.
Well, if it's good enough for Spurlock, it's good enough for me.
Well, you know, you've got edge nodes all over the place that have local copies of a distributed key value store, and you can just tap into that. And you know, this is all just simplistic data. You know, it's like feed GUID feed URL.
Yeah, I understand.
The whole data set's nothing. Mm-hmm.
Okay, great idea. Well, I love that we're building that, and I think it's incredibly important. It will really, because I understand the value of it, and how it will enable a lot of things under the hood, a lot of things. And I just want to put on. I'm sorry, you're done with GUID? We have more to do about GUID?
No, I'm good.
You're good? Yeah, you sure? That was a good one, Dave.
Thanks.
And now it's time to play GUID Roulette. I have been, although this was the beginning of the week, and now I'm already excited about so many other things. I've really been blown. My mind has been blown by the conversation we had in the last board meeting about the concept of putting 1% split into your value block to activate a value for value service, or as value for value, or you could make it more, or it's not pure value for value, but, and which may be limiting, but you know, a service could say, you know, we require 3% or whatever, you split that off and then you get that service. You're able to access that because they have your payment information, you know, the streaming sats. And I just need to keep saying how it's like a podcaster API. It's so beautiful. You know, I don't have to think about any other integration other than that one thing. Just add this service to this split and it goes. And you can always have authentication if you don't want it to be public, etc. I mean, it's just blowing my mind. Does that make any sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it scales perfectly, because if you have... If I activate your service with a 1% split, and as my show grows, I'm paying you more money without having to do anything. You're getting more money from me because it's a percentage of my earnings rather than a static amount.
Right.
And there's no $19.99 a month.
Yes.
It's a 1%. And so if all of a sudden my show grows, you know, grows by a factor of 20, well, then my support to you grows by a factor of 20 as well. And that's just like, to me, it's a beautiful scaling, you know, sliding support system that you don't have to worry about, we accidentally sold it too cheap in the beginning. Now we've got to come back and ask for more money because the service is getting, you know, creaky because things are
and there's hard. No and there's no sign up or sign off. You know, it's like remove your split. And I'm so excited. I don't know if I talked about this, but I'm so excited. Comic strip blogger really drove this. And I knew there was a reason. He's been in my life for 30 years. He pushed it. You know, did we talk about this last week about the No Agenda album art?
We did, but it was just in the idea phase. It was not in the action phase.
Oh, so,
like you did yesterday.
So he really pushed this and the artists are now using Albi wallets and they're putting that their get Albi address into their profile on No Agenda Art Generator. No Agenda twice a week picks a new piece of art right after the show, which artists have made while listening to the show live, and that becomes and so we find that very exciting that the album art changes. It's a great use of, you know, podcasting 2.0 tags and all kinds of stuff like that. And mm-hmm. and the rest of the art is used for chapters, which I'll get to in a minute. So I've mentioned this many times before on this show, even on No Agenda. Hey, Gam, you should get yourself. I'm kind of like, yeah, get yourself an Albi. Check that out. So finally, someone was awarded with the art and had Get Albi in their profile. I didn't see it. Comic strip blogger did. And by chance or by scale, the past three artists have all had an Albi wallet in their profile. So I just added them right in 10%. And the joy.
He was very excited.
Of course, because you're seeing these sats stream in. And oh, by the way, go get a hold of Conshacks and then, you know, start to slice and dice and see the performance of your art. You know, maybe other podcasters will do this as well. And you know, there's a whole sub industry. It's
can't you in a situation like that, so I'm thinking about the art generator website. I mean, it would be pretty simple to hook that into the Albi backend with their OAuth API, and where you could just create a wallet, right?
Great idea. I don't know if Sir Paul Couture listens to Podcasting 2.0, but I'm sure someone is listening in No Agenda Nation who can offer that up.
Just riffing on the beauty of open systems, you know.
And with that comes something else. I was wrong. I was very wrong about something.
Okay.
Very, very wrong. And I want to apologize, or I want to say I was wrong. I was wrong about the comments implemented with boostergrams that Fountain drove and implemented. All of the things I thought that would happen, and I've been using the Fountain app, I've been interacting with the comments on No Agenda, since that's where we left it turned on. I've been looking at the boost amounts. I've tracked this, and it has only added to the value for value. It did not detract, as I expected it would, from larger boosts. In fact, what we can do with that is the second thing. The main thing is a mea culpa. I apologize. I had hate in my heart about this. Yeah. Particularly towards all of Britain, but I had hate in my
all of it, the whole Commonwealth, Europe. I mean, Australia too.
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely Australia. The whole thank you for correcting me. Yes. Anyone British who's involved in this, I was like, I apologize for that because this really is something very interesting. It's working incredibly well. I don't know if it's simple to do something decentralized that enables this cross platform, and I don't want to confuse the issues, but it's really compelling, and I'm surprised.
I don't want that. To me, the Fountain Lightning comments are a Fountain feature, and sort of like Conshacks is a Albi feature that you enable. To me, these things are platform specific, and they add to the value of what's happening on that platform. But I don't feel comfortable with that something like that becoming, quote, like the standard for things for something like cross-app comments. I think that the cross-app comments has to stay purely a protocol play, like activity pub, especially. But this kind of rolls into what, and I'm saying, and I'm not sure if that was even what you're saying. I'm kind of riffing, going off on this, but
that's not exactly what I'm saying, but I'm
right.
What I'm, hold on, let me see. Before we continue, let me see if I can clarify what I'm saying. Whatever this is, can it be done in between apps? And with that, I don't mean Oscar has to set up an API server so that Stephen B can access replies, etc. If that's not possible, then I'm not interested, because then I think you're right. It's completely platform specific. Thinking about it, and again, in my mind, it's like, can I add a 1% split? It's like the Boost Bot. Here's another great example. The Boost Bot works because I send money to it. It's the most beautiful thing you can imagine. Can I enable this on more than one platform, or all platforms at once? And maybe, and by the way, and I agree, I don't want it to be cross-app comments, which has zero traction. But since Mastodon has gotten some attention,
that's where I was going.
Yep. But yep. I will tell you, I don't think it makes any difference, this Mastodon inflow. I really don't.
I don't think
it'll make any app developer implement cross-app comments.
I disagree,
because the fear is something else that I just can't put my, it's not being implemented. I mean,
here's the thing that seems to me like will evolve, because I see this as sort of like this unfolding story that's happening right now with the influx, the outflux from Twitter into Mastodon, is that when Mastodon, as it continues to expand, you're going to see that people are going to want their own like presence. And Spurlock talked about it this morning on podcastindex.social. This morning or last night, he said something to the effect of, it's a shame that having your own personal presence in the Fediverse has become synonymous with, I'm going to go roll my own Mastodon server. Because for a lot of people, let's just say many, many people, that's going to be overkill. Mm-hmm. So like Cridlin rolled his own Mastodon.
Mm-hmm.
And just for himself, to essentially, it's just one.
Yeah, I have one of those.
Entire Mastodon server.
And I'll tell you what happens. I have psyopshop.com. Mm-hmm. And you can follow people and subscribe, but you feel very empty. Your soul remains empty in your own little place. You may invite a couple people in, and they may post once or twice, and then they kind of go away and go back to the home where they are. I barely use noagendasocial.com because of the nature of the Fediverse. Everyone sees at Adam because it crosses over between with the timelines. Because people follow me in both places, I might as well just use Adam at podcastindex.social, because that's what I wind up replying to most people with, because for some reason it shows up in my timeline over there. So,
yeah, and I think we'll see what needs to happen because of that, because of the sort of absurdity of having to do all that. People need, there needs to be a lighter stack for Activity Pub presence, and that is what comes next to me in my mind, is the sort of lightweight Activity Pub stack that's more of a personal thing, and that's when cross app comments begins to. I feel like cross app comments was birthed at just the right time. Because if you think about it, I mean, ActivityPub as a protocol was around for years and years and years before Mastodon really
made
it a household word.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the same thing is probably, I don't know if it's going to take years or months. I don't know. But I feel like the Activity Pub roots of cross-app comments happened at exactly the right time. Now you have this influx into the Fediverse. And the next thing, you know, you see is Activity Pub is people wanting to interact with the Fediverse in its native language, not through Twitter, which is like an OAuth API.
Can I just put a pin right there? Stop. Because I want to continue this because I have a lot to say and I like where that's going.
Okay.
Just for a moment, going back to I'm going to call it Sats Chat. Okay. Just to segment it off from cross app comments, because it's not Sats Chat.
Sat chat,
something like that. I know it sucks. It's too much sibilance. Sats Chat. Can we make, or is there a place in the current namespace where I can add external a pointer to external data, such as a chapters file, such as maybe it's a whole new tag for external service. So I activate the external service with a percentage of payment. So let's say I wanted a Sat Chat server. And so then all I have to do is say in my feed, here's the Sat Chat server that I send money to. And you can pick up whatever the information is that is there. So that is a separate thing that all apps can implement or not.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that we can do?
Yeah, man. I think that was the idea behind the original proposal, was that you can...
What is the original proposal? It's not called... I thought this was under cross-app comments.
It was, but see, that's the thing. It probably should have never been there.
So can we do that? Because what I see, and I'll stop and we can talk about it later or another time, I see a huge industry for services that provide this type of interaction with payment. I didn't believe I would, but I'm taking it all back. And I think there's a huge opportunity there. And it may go way beyond podcasting, but I would love to see a way for podcasting to drive interactive services that you can, that as a producer, someone just a creator, a podcast, you can just, this goes in my feed and this goes in my, and in my feed, I add this URL and this split.
What is it you see this looking like? Like, I don't think I'm seeing your vision here. Cause I see, like, are you thinking like some sort of like public message board type
thing? I don't know. Have you ever played with the fountain, chat, the comments? Have you ever played with it?
Yeah. I've seen it.
Uh-huh. I've seen it, but when you interact with it, it's really quite interesting. And especially if it's active, which no agendas happen to be. I mean, there's a lot of different comments and numerology going. It's kind of like, in a way, it's like the Boostergram corner. It's where people sit around there and they talk about Boostergrams and they chat about stuff. And it's just, it's not, I don't know. I'm seeing a community. I'm a community organizer. I'm seeing a community. I'm seeing communities being built around each episode. And people are expressing themselves with Satoshis, and people are commenting and boosting those people. So maybe this is more chat than anything. I think about it's very YouTube comments reminiscent. So it's not exactly. I don't know what it is. It's an incredibly crazy thing, man. No, wait. Now I'll tell you why my thinking has been all screwed up this week and why I'm thinking big.
Okay.
I should have done this earlier. Someone sent me a clip of a small portion, about a minute, from 1999. And I've seen this full interview. I've played this clip on No Agenda in the past, even though this is 8 years before No Agenda even started. So this is, you know, over, so what is it, 21, 22 years ago. 23 years ago, and this was at the time. Now think back to 1999. Some of you did not have a driver's license. Some of you were playing with Barbie dolls. This is David Bowie explaining what he believes the impact of the internet will be. And I think you'll be interested to hear particularly the last part of this clip.
I don't think we've even seen the tip of the iceberg. I think the potential of what the internet is going to do to society, both good and bad, is unimaginable. I think we're actually on the cusp of something exhilarating and terrifying.
It's just a tool, though, isn't it?
No, it's not. No. No, it's an alien life form.
What do you think? I mean, when you think then about
is there life on Mars? Yes, it's just landed here.
But that's it's simply a different delivery system there. You're arguing about something more profound.
Oh, yeah, I'm talking about the actual context and the state of content is going to be so different to anything that we can really envisage at the moment, where the interplay between the user and the provider will be so in simpatico. It's going to crush our ideas of what mediums are all about.
The user and the provider simpatico will crash our ideas of what medium is all about. Dude, we are building Bowie's vision. It's really what's happening here.
Yeah, I can see that for sure. That's what it feels like. The best part of that clip was this is not just a different delivery mechanism. This is an alien life.
Exactly. Form. Now let me back into where I think what I'm trying to communicate is coming from.
Okay.
And I just see it. Forget the whole service part. I'm just trying to put it in a box that isn't cross app comments. Okay. That's what I'm trying to do. And maybe it's part of Lit. And you know, Lit continues after Lit is no longer Lit. You know, this.
Right.
So if you, okay, it's starting to come clear to me. So the experience I have in the Fountain app specifically with, this chat / boosting each other, commenting, etc., is completely analogous to YouTube. At the same time that I'm thinking all these things, is the Bowie thing comes to me. Odyssey is in trouble. Odyssey, which is the library token, they've had a lawsuit going for a long time. Finally, the final word is in, although there will be another appeal. You guys, you're a security. So, you know, people were basically investing in your company. This was not just a straight out coin like Bitcoin and Lightning. So their whole business model is in trouble and they probably can't use the token, or the things will have to change over there. And this is what a lot of people saw, particularly YouTubers and the ones, and I'm going off what Mo tells me. So I'm telling you, Black YouTube, as he calls it, they were using Odyssey and they're ready to move somewhere. And I see this opportunity. I see it. So we're moving towards the super chat. We have most of it. We have this. We're doing it now. We're doing super chat without the video. We don't quite have the video part straightened out, but hopefully we'll, and that's, I'm not the guy who can push that because I don't do it. So that combo, Fountain can build this. And if I were a paid advisor, which I'm not, I would advise them to build a YouTube experience with whatever that chat thing is with Super Chat, make it work in a live environment, figure out how to get people to do video. All I'm trying to do in the board meeting is see if we can do that in a way that everybody can do it. And if that requires an external service that provides this chat environment, because it's, you know, we have different ideas about Activity Pub and what real cross app comments are, which I have a dynamite idea for. Maybe that's something that we need to put together. Does that make any sense that I'm trying to back into this?
I'm glad that you kept on talking and explaining things, because I think here's what I would like to see happen out of that. If to me it makes sense in this way. Fountain has its Lightning comment system. It works well in Fountain. Podverse maybe has a Lightning comments system if they want one or something. These things, whatever systems are internal within the app platforms themselves to provide these sort of, to provide the super chat functionality, as long as it comes out of there as ActivityPub, as long as it comes out of there in a non-paid neutral way,
mm-hmm.
that's, to me, that's, that solves the problem. Like, you're on the specific app platforms themselves, internally, they can, to like what Fountain is really doing here is converting, is they're organizing boostergrams into a threaded super chat.
Yeah.
And so that's fine within the Fountain platform. What you have to have in order to quote unquote, like federate that out.
Yeah.
So that I can see that in Castomatic and see all that activity going on. Like today I can go to YouTube. I can see all the comments that are paid. I can see all the comments that are unpaid. So you have multiple options for the people who are participating in Simpatico with the creator, as Bowie said. You've got all that stuff going on, but then I can hop in as just a lurker and see the whole thing happening.
All right, I got you. No, I got you. So as long as we can connect, because you know, Fountain, and I actually did talk to the guys over there. They called, said, "Hey, can we have a chat with you?" I'm like, "Oh fuck, are these guys out of money? I'm gonna have to go help them find money." Fuck, I hate this. That's what I immediately thought. It's like, oh, why are they calling me? It's like, no, maybe do you have
any
idea?
Just called you because they're nice guys.
Yeah, no, they just wanted to pick my brain about stuff. We were spitballing a bit, and I was just like, wow, that's really interesting. And so I said, are you going to implement Lit? And they said, yeah, we really want to put that high priority. So when they get Lit going, they're going to have a lot of things to have fun with and experiment with. And how that interacts with the current chat room, although I guess I could, you know, if they had a system, I could point to that. I don't know. We're going to figure that out. That's the running with scissors part. But now back to ActivityPub and Mastodon. Here's a thought I had. There's a... go to pinafore.social, P-I-N-A-F-O-R-E, pinafore.social.
P-I-N-A-F-O-R-E.social?
Yeah.
Okay. Is a web client from Mastodon designed for speed and simplicity. Read the introductory blog post or get started by logging into an instance.
Now, log into your instance, whichever one.
I want to log into podcast.
Now, I only have an idea of how this is working behind the scenes, but it's clearly an OAuth, you know, or whatever Mastodon uses. It's getting authenticated. That's all happening in the web browser. And boom, you have an entirely different skin on top of an existing Mastodon instance. And this one, as you can tell, is built for speed. But it has a whole different theme. I'm going to presume that I didn't hand off all my credentials in this process. You know, I'm going to presume that I trust all the things, but I'm okay running with scissors. But why couldn't you reverse the process out? Start with the comments in the native Mastodon with one of these pinafore.social idea web interfaces over the top of the instance, and then let people add their Albi wallet. Add a player. Before you know it, you have some functionality going here.
Oh, I agree. This is a really cool thing. And here, so I pull up my,
I mean, it's a quick way to make a great community around your podcast and your podcast episodes.
Yeah. And you can, the first thing I see when I log in here is I see this, a post 37 minutes ago from Evoterra at mastodon.social.
Yep.
It's just the top same thing one. In my...
Yeah, with his COVID, he's virtue signaling that he has COVID.
Yes. So I see the...
I see us as dogs.
Yes, we're two dogs. I'm the blue one, clearly.
And then your post shows up. Right.
Yeah.
But look at how fast it goes. This thing is talking at API level.
Very quick. But this is OAuth. The Freedom Controller hooks into Mastodon the same way through the OAuth interface. So the reason I bring up this post here about Evoterra is that it's yet dawned on him that when I post the one a few posts down about time for the board meeting, that he can reply to that post that I posted and show up in Podverse, CrossApp comments, and Podfriend, and anybody else that enables CrossApp comment. This goes back to my thinking. There's a large influx of people, of podcasting people that came over here from Twitter and have not yet realized that they just entered CrossApp comments.
And
they're now soaking in. They don't even have to do anything. And all they have to do is reply to something, and they've just CrossApp commented themselves.
Yes. Unfortunately, I've been following certain people, following their journey over to Mastodon. I think we may be a little late to grab everyone's attention. They'll have the account still, but they're not going to use them. People need the algo. They need the anger, the hate, the excitement. They need the dopamine. Mastodon is a chronological timeline instead of an algorithmic one. Mm. So we're losing them, but it's okay. We at least 500,000 people signed up and they have accounts.
I agree that's sort of been the history of this. You'll get these big influx and then everybody's just like, bleh, we don't care.
No,
and they'll go back to Twitter.
They don't care.
But,
no,
but this may be more sticky.
No, I hate to say it. No, just no, just no.
Can the title of this episode be no?
Yes. No. The reason why I've been running a Mastodon for 4 years. Actually, I ran it for the first two, and then Matt took it over. We're so blessed that he did that, because it's quite a lot of work for 10,000 people, which we cap No Agenda Social at. And so I just have experience. No, I mean, the thing is, they say, oh, I want freedom of speech. I want freedom from Twitter. I want freedom from Elon. I want freedom, freedom, freedom. And then they come over here and they're like, I don't want freedom, but I want to be abused. I want to be harassed. I want to get that feeling. I want my hit. It's drugs, man. It's drugs. This is not technology.
Stockholm syndrome.
This is not technology issue. This is a drug issue.
It's you know what it is? It's the male fist of bureaucracy.
And by the way, well, here we go. Why wouldn't you have a pinafore.social skin that you slip over your instance? Slip that skin over your instance. what's wrong? Dirty mind.
Yes, it was me. It was you. It was me. Yes.
That runs an algo on your timeline. Mixes that crap up a bit. Looks for stuff.
Runs in a
WebAssembly at the same time. Think about WebAssembly skin over a Mastodon instance. Hey, do you have a Mastodon account? Go to this website, enter those credentials. Don't even go to your Mastodon. Boom, you got cross-app comments. Drop right in.
You missed my cue for the ISO, but that's okay. That's okay. I'm not going to hold it against you.
Bombshell. That one or a different one?
No. The male fist of bureaucracy. That was the...
I was unaware.
The male fist of centralized bureaucracy.
That's what Twitter is.
The male fist of centralized bureaucracy. Nice.
So I was saying the other day that it is, and this applies for Twitter too, but maybe even more for Fediverse. Isn't this just like the better than Google? If somebody interfaced with all this data in the right way, wouldn't this just become overnight like a killer search engine?
We're pretty big. I think we're big enough. I mean, again, what you just said there is bound to die. And I have to agree with, I forgot who was trolling. You know, a search engine for the Fediverse can't be centralized. It just can't. It has somehow, we have to figure all these things out in a decentralized manner. And I'm going to agree that is there ever a point? Now, if podcasting stays at 4 million podcasts, of which 100,000 are active, I think your GUID revolver is going to be fine. Your GUID roulette will work. Can it do 100 million?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. Then we're fine. then I don't know what he's talking about. Shut up. It'll scale forever. It's infinite.
It'll scale.
It's infinite.
It'll scale.
If we run out into a problem, we'll just throw in an IPFS problem solved.
Some pub subs. Some IPFS pub subs.
Boost!
No, it's fine. No, there will be no problems ever.
Okay. So, well, I'm very excited. And then... Let's just throw one more thing into the mix because this changes one more thing into the mix. This adds Bolt 12.
Yeah. The redheaded stepchild of Lightning. Yes. Uh-huh.
Man, I read through the whole Bolt 12, proposal. That is some exciting stuff. I mean, that changes the game.
Yeah, and it'll never. It's a shame that it'll never happen.
It's never going to happen. Why? Don't they just need two big lightning networks or providers to implement it? Yeah,
but Lightning Labs, they just don't care.
Well, that's what everyone said. That's what everyone said about Apple.
I don't understand the politics behind it.
Oh, maybe we're misinformed. I thought it wouldn't be too much of a problem. Actually, seems like
Bolt 12 is a core Lightning proposal, and from what I understand, Lightning Labs has given it no traction. Mm. So no, okay. I agree. Right. You read through the white paper and you're like, this is
beautiful.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Beautiful.
And then you don't get it. Yeah. Speaking of Mastodon, do we have a criteria of who we accept into the podcast index.social?
Thank you. That was on my list. That's a very big issue.
Yes.
And I'm not quite sure what to do. I think we should open it up to any ideas, which we'll of course ignore and do whatever we want anyway. Like good board of directors.
Yep.
So the problem is that it's twofold. One, people didn't really know. I mean, there's a couple. So there's people who show up and say, hey, this is the place where it's happening. I want to be a part of the conversation. Doesn't matter what you're doing, what your background is. We can identify you as that. Oh, you're in, of course. Now, we have always let everybody in, but we've started to see some issues. There are people who show up and say, all right, I want an account so I can upload my MP3 files and get going on this podcasting 2.0 thing. there's that one. But then there's also, hey, I've heard about Mastodon. I'm a podcaster. Give me an account.
Yeah. And then it's like, I'm going to start posting politics and crap. And I don't want that.
So I'm thinking I want to change the verbiage on the sign-up page to maybe express a little bit what we're looking for. And again, you know, I just don't want to be here to give away free accounts, which is why we stopped doing that. Why we put a sign up in the first place.
How many are there? How many accounts are there on our server?
Oh, well, that's a good question.
Is there an about page?
I don't know. I know this. It's on the admin. Let me check. Man, the rain is coming down.
Oh, I can hear it. I can hear it in the background. Every time the noise gate drops.
It's pretty massive. Okay. See, press, administrator, moderation. Is that where I look?
Podcast Index Social, about more.
No, I think
1,260 users.
Oh, okay. There you go.
I don't really think it needs to get much. I mean, to me, 1,500 feels like
Well, the thing is, I mean, we just have to be the paywall, maybe. I don't know. Or, you know, the limiting factor is like, I'm gonna change the language, see if that helps, because, you know, I've already had to mute some people who, you know, don't even speak my language, but they're basically just posting about their podcast and their gear. Yeah. And like, and I don't, can't
That's
quite
really know what this is about.
Here's an example, is a new one. Dear all, I would like to join your server. I'm podcaster and new in Mastodon. He's from Spain, Yadaweb. Let's see here.
I mean, it's fine that you're a podcaster, but it's just not, that's not what the point of the server is.
No. The point is, you got to bring some really sharp scissors. That's show us your scissors.
No, yeah.
We won't let you.
Oh, yeah.
Alban, his how to be a podcast guest video.
That was pretty good.
I adored that. And I immediately went, hey, I want that Al guy to do a value for value explainer video. And I think I saw an acceptance.
I think I saw it too.
Can you imagine how viral that will go? Can you imagine? That's
pretty good.
Can you imagine? Yeah. That will go so viral.
The guy with the boombox and the shades doing the rap, that's John, one of their developers.
they got the whole
crew in on
it. You know what it is? These things can be such a dud. They can suck so bad and so cringe if done just a little bit wrong. Particularly at that length, it was just good. They nailed it every single bit.
You got to stay right above the cringe line, and they nailed it.
Really,
they hovered
right down to the plastic blue Mac on the desk. I mean,
yeah,
just beautiful, just beautiful.
There was no mouse, but I'm not going to be a pedantic about
beautiful.
That.
I wrote a couple more things here that I want to talk about. I'm sure you have some stuff on your list. What was there something? Oh. Very sad news, or really, really actually a record in podcasting.
Oh.
The Off the Mic podcast has been canceled before it even released its first episode. Sam Sethi self-canceled himself.
Oh, okay. Well, at least it saved us the trouble from having to do it.
Wow. Wow, Dave. Hey, and by the way, really nice job, you two dudes, turning Podland into the Pod News Weekly Review. And and of course, it's basically the same show. But I hear you, James Crinn. There's a radio. You should listen to that show. There's a radio guy who has said, okay, I want to really streamline this. And he has he got a professionally produced, I don't know who did it, if he didn't, whatever, but a produced package of music, openings, but you know, it has his logo, the Pod News logo, ding ding ding, that he uses on the Pod News Daily. So that comes back in a different form throughout the show in their little segue bits. He's got a female voice that does kind of these segues. I mean, the transition hits. Yeah. The Boostagram Corner is a produced jingle now. It still includes me, which is fun. I'm flattered. It's slick. I mean,
they got some donuts in there.
No, there's no donuts. But it was, yeah, it's, if you want to hear how you do a professional makeover of your existing show and of course, really integrate it with your branding, James did a good job. I'm impressed. That's not easy to do.
It was, the station was country music yesterday and it's rock and roll today.
Exactly. Yes. Alex, we should talk about briefly about the IAB.
Yes. Okay, so the IAB.
The Interactive Advertising Bureau? Agent Bureau?
Yes, the Interactive Advertising Bureau. And to me, I made the comment that they're the NCAA of podcasting. And that requires a little bit of explanation. The NCAA, the National Collegiate Athletics Association, is sort of like the governing, the non-government governing body of college sports in the United States. And they're the ones that run the NCAA basketball tournament and
which
all
is
that.
Big money, big business, big schools, big TV shows, big deal.
Right. But that's all on the basketball side.
Yep.
On the college football side, college football never had a tournament. They had what was called the bowl system. And so you had all these different, what they call bowls. So you would have the Rose Bowl, you know, the Tostito, the Fiesta Bowl.
The Bowls with Buds.
you'd have all these different bowl games. The Hall of Fame Bowl, you know, and the All-America Bowl. And so the big-time schools in the college football world where there's even more money than there is, way more money than there is in the basketball world, those big schools never got in bed with the NCAA tournament. And because of that, they stayed independent. Mm. The NCAA began to hit them harder and harder with their rules. So over the years, you know, the most famous example was SMU. I don't know, this is back in the '80s, maybe. Can't remember if it's seventies or eighties. I think it was eighties. Southern Methodist University was found to be cheating, paying their players, their football players and all this kind of stuff. It was, you know, all kinds of scandal. The NCAA actually closed down their football program. Said you can't eat. They gave them what they called the death penalty. You can't even have a football program for like 5 years. And every severity of that happened over the years, and it just became very political. And it sort of the last big NCAA hammer that happened to a college football program was Alabama. They got hit with some massive sanctions for this, where they supposedly paid a player out of Tennessee to come play on their football team. Anyway, so that's the NCAA in the college football world got to be where they were hated. Well, now that you fast forward nowadays, the NCAA is almost a relic. Like in within major college football, nobody even thinks about them. There's been legislation this past that was pushed by the big football programs to get their to get it passed where you could pay players. So now players can have their own endorsement contracts. It's called the name, image, and likeness rule. They can the college football players can make money off their own image and likeness. Well, so all of that stuff for all those years that everybody the NCAA was policing and trying to get everybody to play by these rules that they made up, that's all now completely ignored. It's not even applicable anymore. And so there's always been for years and years, there's been talk of the big schools and what's called the Power Five conferences, the SEC, the Big Ten, the Pac-12, creating what they call their like a super conference where they have these, they do their own thing and they just tell the NCAA to go jump in the ocean. That's a long way of saying that's what this feels like. It feels like the IAB. is in process of jumping the shark. And what's going to happen is when they put these onerous requirements for recertification onto these hosting companies who to date have been begrudgingly paying this money.
Like 50, is it 50 grand still for the initial certification? Now they want 30 grand a year moving forward for recert.
I've heard it's five digit numbers all over across the board.
And if, I mean,
they're just, what's going to happen just to finish the analogy is what's going to happen is they're going to the hosting companies have been playing ball so far. They're just going to say, screw you. And they're just going to go off and do their own thing. This is not what you do.
Well, what they're doing is very classic. They're saying, you know what? We are the Nielsen of podcasting. We are the ones that are in charge of the ratings, which are not, but, you know, because of their certification, they say they de facto are. And this is just the beginning. 30,000 is just the beginning. And next year it'll have to go up, if only for inflation or some other bull crap reason. And now you have a choice. Be a slave to the IAB. And many podcast companies will have to make decisions. Many won't be that hard. Like, these days, that's that's part of an employee at least,
mm-hmm.
and
it is not a coincidence that this happened right after everybody started finished their implementation.
Everyone got their programmatic done, and these guys turn around, stab you in the back,
and tomorrow everybody's going to wake up and realize that they don't need that certification anyway.
Well, no, not like, because there's no advertising to make money on. That would be the main reason, but also, you know, we have OP3, which I'm having fun listening to the analysis of the user agents and how people are working to get everybody change stuff. And by the way, this is part, you know, this is all the stuff I know about development, having hung out with developers for most of my life. But if there's something that can be implemented, it's like OCD. It's like a developer can't sit there and say, oh, this is thing, but it's not in my app or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like
it's crack.
You wake up in the middle of the night sweating, like, I want to implement that thing. Which is why I know that all of this, eventually everyone's going to be doing this.
It's developer crack is what it is.
I think that even Apple will eventually hear that we're saying, hey, why don't you, even though they may be worried. I mean, there was kind of insinuation. They don't really want to put their user, you know, their own code into the podcast app, because then we might find out that the number of uses of the Apple podcast app, you know, you can't just bundle them in with Apple Core Media, which I am well aware of the amount of people who listen to my shows on my website in a browser. I know, because if I screw up the URL on the website, I get a lot of tweets and comments.
That's you. You have a lot of browser listeners. That's
I do.
So interesting.
I do. That is but this idea that we can, in an open source way, everyone convinces everybody they know to do this. That's real power there. Mm-hmm. That's real power. So yeah. And the DA, and I really appreciate that you have been working with a number of people trying to figure out how do we stop dynamic ad insertion from screwing up transcripts.
Yeah, can I talk about that for a second?
Yes, because you may. And well, you don't have to ask permission.
Oh, I just want a personal, you're point the, of personal privilege. Well,
you're the, no, it's all your personal privilege. You're the pod sage. Okay.
I forgot for a second. The current thinking is that, or at least going back and forth about it on Mastodon, we need some way of stamping either in the audio file or in the delivery response that the original episode has been molested in some way. It has been altered with insertions. So like that, so, you know, Todd came back and said, well, we stamp our original episodes with insertion points. Okay. Well, the final delivered MP3 file that goes out in response to a GET request from an app, those stampings are lost, and they never had the links on them anyway. So my original idea was, why don't we just stamp into the MP3 header, into the ID3 tag somewhere, something that here's a list of all the insertions that happened. Here's the offset from zero, and here's the length. Well, then Chris from Acast came back and said, why don't we instead hand that information back in the HTTP response to the download request. Mm-hmm. And that, I think that's not a bad idea. I think that's actually a better idea, because then you solve the problem of sort of range requests being a thing there. And also, you can reference other bits of media. So the final proposal was, or not final, that's not the right terminology, but the most concrete thing we have so far is that when an MP3 is requested, when an enclosure audio file is requested, the GET request response will return a series of link headers. That has the offset of where the ad is inserted and the length, and then and potentially, if necessary, a link to a transcript bit for that thing, so that you're getting a transcript of the thing delivered with it. So if it's an ad, you get the ad's transcript that just got inserted. Or if it's some other bit of dynamic content, you get that.
How will we ever get everyone to implement this?
I have completely unjustified confidence in myself to convince people to do things that they don't want
to
do.
It sounds to me like it might be easier if I just continue to bash advertising until it breaks and goes away, and then it fixes itself.
That might also be effective strategy.
Huh. Well, there's something else I noticed. You know, I'm not a downloader. I'm a streamer.
Mm-hmm. Mm. I'm a downloader.
Oh.
Sat streamer.
I'm a streamer. So I, now it may be, so I mainly use CurioCaster, but Podverse and, I think all of them, you know, they may be downloading and storing it in the background. I don't know. I never, if it's on it, it's on, but I never turn on download the shows or anything like that. I just immediately hit streaming and, you know, sometimes in the car it might stop, but it's not a problem. With many shows, well, the two shows where I've noticed it, and this, it's two different dynamic ad insertion engines. One is Pivot. My hate listen, Kara Swisher and Prof G, and the other one is the New Media Show.
Oh, that one bombs out on you too?
Well, what happens is if I stop, if I pause the app, go do something for myself, come back to the app, I think because the app then is trying to do a head request or something to find its position, but it may be getting a different
range.
Ad.
It's doing a range request.
Right. So it's getting a different ad and it's getting something different and it sits there and spins. And I actually have to kill the app in both Podverse and CurioCaster. It'll come back up and then it will have magically somehow it'll have the podcast I was listening to at the right timestamp and it will play.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is something about this dynamic ad insertion, because that's when it started.
The whole thing.
It all sucks.
It does suck. All of it sucks. It all sucks.
I mean, it's like if you have dynamic ad insertions, I'm sorry. You just can't have anything else.
I'm in complete agreement with you.
You just can't have chapters that pop up at the right time, and you just can't have transcripts. Otherwise, good to go. Enjoy your ad.
If instead of chapters and transcripts, you get ads.
Because it was we had a perfectly functioning system, and then people come in and break it, and now you're trying to fix it with something that I don't know. Seems hard to.
Did you have no confidence?
Zero. No, the technology, of course, but I mean, I know how hard it is to roll something out. I mean, this is, you know, it takes, that's a lot of moving pieces. Just, I mean, personally, it's a more priority issue.
I feel completely unjustified confidence in this thing. And the common retort that you will get when you bring up stamping or identifying the ad slots in the download in some way is, we can't do that because people just skip ads.
Excellent voice.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Now, wait a minute. Say that again. We can't do that because... Okay. I did follow this conversation. So
yeah.
It was interesting because the person you just did was Todd, because he said...
It was Todd.
You did a Todd.
No, he never said that.
But
I said that somebody else would say that.
But I asked Todd about Rad. I said, why didn't it take off? And he said, with that voice you just used, which is why.
Because it sucks.
because people are going to skip the ads. So well, I thought you were referring to Todd.
No,
but there's no proof because it was never implemented. There's no evidence that, first of all, people who steal content. It's done.
Do ad blockers exist in web browsers because people tell you all about the ads and where they're going to be and where they're going to come from and all that kind of stuff? No, it's a set of complicated, goofy heuristics that are going on inside an ad browser, a web browser extension, to try to figure out what is an ad and what is not. Sometimes it breaks stuff. Most of the time it doesn't, it works okay. But do we really want that to happen in podcasting? This is the iTunes approach. Is like, and you have to agree with it to some point. It's like, do you want to get onto eDonkey and try to find your music? And it's some crap, you accidentally downloaded a virus. Or do you just want to pay the money and get the download and be done with it? That's the thing. I mean, ad blocking is going to happen. It always does. It's sort of like a childish narrative to say, to act like if you obfuscate where the ads are, that nobody's going to block your ads. It's just like somebody said, I forgot who it was. Somebody popped in and said, yeah, I just on podcasts I know about, I just pop through the ad with the fast forward button. It's like, okay, yeah, do you want your person exactly. to have to, it, like there's some, you know what I did the other day? Perfect example. I listen to Security Now every week, and I know that the structure of the show goes like this. Intro, brief discussion of what the show is going to be about, then the first host read ad. And so I know that Leo's voice goes up until about the 12-minute mark. And so I just fast forward all the way through until I hear him stop talking. Then I know that's when I'm going to start the show. I do that every time. I finally said, you know what? This is annoying. I'm just going to subscribe to the show. And so I just bought the show ad free. Now I'm supporting the show and I get what I want and I don't have to fast forward and potentially wreck my car while I'm looking at my phone trying to fast forward. So this is what I'm saying. We got to grow. People have to grow up.
That's like my WinRAR story.
It is. 15 years of dismissing that WinRAR ad, and I finally did it.
So proud of myself.
Yeah.
Jesus made me do it, by the way.
He's looking over your shoulder.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Hey, all the time.
Hey, Adam, you going
to
buy that?
Really. I mean, it was talking to me, man. It's like, oh, I should buy this, shouldn't I? Yeah, I'm a douche. Okay, got it.
ISO, $5.
What's $5? Oh, for the ISO. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I misunderstood what you're saying.
Very good looking and certainly worth $5.
What is this from? What horrible movie did you watch? This man is worth $5. I like it.
No, I've got all kind of. I brought the old school vibe today.
You did. You've quite the archive you got there.
Do you want to do Don't Be Europe?
Yeah, of course.
We don't want what has happened in Europe to happen here.
Wow, that's a good one.
Thanks.
Oh, I'm going to, you know, so that was, now I got a little time capsule for you. Hold on a second. Let me find this. Yeah, here it is. How long is that? Oh, it's not too bad. This is presumably 19 after the Second World War.
Okay.
Your ISO?
Yeah, that's like 1940.
Oh, good.
So that's before the war ended. Yeah.
So we're going to play. Well, let me get a harp. I'm going to do this professionally. Well, this is,
ooh.
Oh, yeah. Harp. No, I'm not messing around with this.
Not a juice harp, a real harp.
No, an actual harp. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I want to do it. Okay. We're going to go from 1940 to 2014.
We don't want what has happened in Europe to happen here.
Flappin', this is what I'll say.
Fuck the EU.
Yeah.
Victoria Nuland.
Vicky Nuland. And that's how she said it in 2014.
It's coming to pass.
How things change over time.
it's flowered. It's blossomed into its full flowering at this point.
Shall we thank a couple people? Because the boosts have been big.
Yeah, let's do it. You do your thing, and then I'll do my thing.
Isn't that what we always do?
Yeah, but I just wanted to say it.
Very professional.
Thank you.
Value for value. You've heard about it. You want to read about it? Go to valueforvalue.info. Value number four, value.info. Feel free to tweet that around. Tell people to have a read because, you know, it helps explain. Which means, in this case, this entire podcast, the board meeting, everything is all completely supported by the participants. We're pulling a Bowie on this thing, and we have been for quite a while. It keeps the servers running. It keeps us interested, which is, we don't get paid, but it keeps us interested with everything continuing to flow around. And of course, I will say that both Dave and I probably send back most of the sats we get back into other shows just to get a comment in edgewise. We got some big ones here today, some nice ones. We got 101010, so 101,010 sats from Mike Newman. I think that's a big baller.
Ooh,
for
Mike.
Today.
Baller. Thank you, bro.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Shakala, 20-inch blaze on the Impala.
Listening and boosting through a browser. I'm a streamer and a downloader.
Sat streamer.
Streaming now. We'll download for the second breakfast. I mean, listen. Apps get lost, restart, then jump. Situation Adam described happens with no agenda as well and no ads. I kind of like it all anyway. Go podcasting!
Go podcasting!
He said there's a man who loves his products a bit messy. He likes rough edges. I agree. I'm a fan of that.
I like them too. Thank you.
10,000 sats from the NA Millennial. All advertisements should be registered file molesters. Ooh, very good.
Yes.
All advertisements should be registered file molesters. I like it. 50,000 sats from Midas. Thanks, Midas. Altering your show with an insertion.
I've been altered.
By the way, we do this live using the lit tag, which is functionality anybody can use, any app can access, and currently works well in Podverse and CurioCaster. Go get those from newpodcastapps.com. 100,050 sats from Darren O. Man.
Shot caller, 20-inch blaze on the Impala.
With a shameful plug, Sir Gene and I have just released episode 50 of Unrelenting today. I should get a medal. Unrelenting.show. Yes, you should.
What's 50? Is that the golden anniversary? The silver anniversary? That's 25 gold. Silver, right? No,
yeah, okay. 50 is gold.
Gold. 75 is diamond.
15 is wood shavings, I learned, I think.
Oh, are you serious?
No.
Okay. Sand.
Silica. Excuse me. Fletcher comes in with, I wonder, boost. 4-4-4-4-4. Okay. 5-4s. Boost. He says, thanks for all of your help, Adam. All of your help.
What'd you help him with?
And he sent a link, actually. Let me play this link. Trigger alert. I have no idea what the link is.
Yeah, this could be bad.
Ooh, I got a boost. Ooh, I got a boost. Okay. Like Oscar, you know, Fletcher said, hey, man, can you talk? I want to talk about my show and what I'm doing. Yeah. I talk to people all the time.
Is this the Fletcher Puta? Is that Fletcher?
The one and only.
Oh, well, why can we not get a podcasting holler? We need a holler.
Well, which one do you want? Here's an example.
Puta!
Yeah, we need a podcasting or something like that. We need creativity. Yeah, a boost. Yes, we need a boost.
We need a number of things.
Yep.
Okay, let's see. Where are we? The next one is Chad F. 3333. He says, I was 10 years old in 1999. Yeah, thanks. I feel great now. then Dreb Scott hits us with 250,001 Satoshi.
Baller, shot caller, 20-inch blaze on the Impala.
He did that from the bat computer inside the cave. He went down to the basement.
What my neural networking brain immediately recognizes is a pattern. I see the one Satoshi, and that would be because, and this was from Fountain just before that, he apparently switched. He was on Podverse and sent 250,000 sats even.
Baller, shot caller, 20-inch blaze on the Impala.
God almighty, Dreb.
Combined 500,001 sats. His messages, boostergrams are boost the dip.
Boost the dip. I don't remember. Have we ever sent Dreb a t-shirt?
Well, you better send us a place to send one because he needs one for sure.
Yeah, Dreb, if we haven't, just please. I mean, yeah. and just remind a general reminder that if you haven't, you know. And if you've donated big, please.
I'm sorry. My mistake. Thank you, chat room. I was wrong. It was Chad F. who sent 250,000. I'll give him a big baller.
Baller! Shot caller! 20-inch blaze on the Impala!
That was a dangerous misattribution.
Yes, he said boost the dip, and Dreb Scott came in with 250,001.
He topped him.
And he says, boosting to start one-upsmanship, feeling like a troll today. Yeah, but no one took the bait, but I do appreciate that. Okay, I got it. Thank you. Thank you, chat room, for correcting my obvious faux pas.
Flub.
Harv Hat with 11,111 and Carolyn with 11,222. She says, this Technicolor version of It's a Wonderful Life We Are Experiencing includes building your own node. Yes, it does. Your own bank, actually. Your own bank. 10,000 from Brando Sellers. He just says, kaboost. Oh, how come that? Why did my boost happen?
Boost! There it is.
Then we go to Macintosh 1111. Ha ha! It's a Wonderful Life. Bank run. Perfect analogy. Whew. Go podcasting.
Go podcasting.
And Bitcoin, he says. Let's see. 1111 from Rasta Calavera. Can I listen on Podverse and Boost and Fountain while the boys are lit? Sure. It's illegal in some states, but yeah, go for it. RDK 519, 33,333. Thanks for all you're doing. Thank you. Here's Dreb Scott,
123,456. Baller! Shot caller, 20 inch blaze on the Impala.
Keep on rocking in the podcast world with a guitar and a devil horns emoji, or as we say, long horns. Hook 'em horns. P.S. Love the pre-show musical stylings of Mr. Dave Jones. Go podcasting.
That's right.
Go podcasting.
And
gotta show up early.
Eric PP came in early with a row of ducks, 22,222. Pfeiffer with a tester, servo was boosting from the cron tab, 33,33. And I think that pretty much covers the lit boostograms. Thank you all so much. It's really, really, really appreciated. And of course, we're turning that around. We're providing a lot of liquidity. And when I say that, not just channels, we still have well over 100 channels, but a lot of forwarding. And I think that's because our fees are in the sweet spot. Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, it really increased since we started hosting everyone's node on our hardware.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
We're single-handedly supporting some of the infrastructure that's going on here, but we're happy to do it. Actually, we are not. It's the entire community. It's everyone in Value for Value Land Podcasting 2.0.
Let's see. We've got one PayPal from the New Media Show. My buddies over there, Todd and Rob, $50, and they just say, go podcasting.
Oh, nice. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Go podcasting to you too, guys.
Go podcasting to you. GP.
GP. GP. We got some boosts, though. We got quite a few boosts. We got 33,333 from SLC through the Fountain app. It says, Dev Request, Podcast 2.0 for instruction. Many instruction videos could be audio only if it weren't for reference graphics. Graphics may be large format, so a zoom function would be needed. Splits for other graphics, just like artwork, would be good. Give listeners a redline function for marking up graphics in the form of a boost. Stats, stats, stats. Go podcasting.
Go podcasting!
Stats, stats, stats. I love it.
That's a good recommendation. Sounds like a lot of work, though.
Yeah. Not as much as that whole idea you have to save transcripts.
No, that'll happen.
That's more.
Oppie 1984 sent us 3,000 sats through Fountain. He says, the discussion about tags inspired an idea I can propose to my employer to automate a process that has financial ramifications if done incorrectly. Thanks for the thought-provoking discussion and keep it up. I don't think anybody should take advice from this show and implement it into a financial situation that has ramifications if done wrong.
I love this idea as a manager. I think this is great. I love this. Tina and I might start this up. You know, set up a little smart contract. You know, if you forget to do something that we agreed to in the morning, bam, yeah, automatic payment. You lose your money.
Bam.
Bam, bam. You got penalized. Oh, this is good. This is for your kids. Look, see this money here in my wallet? Oh, you see that smart contract? What does it say? It says clean up my room, make my bed, take out the trash.
Smart contract.
Okay. So do you see those times, the HTLCs? Yeah. Okay. So if you don't confirm that this has been done, and this can only be done by the 2 of 3 signature, which is your mom. She's the popo. And then if you do it, then boom, your funds get released. You got your money. Bam.
And it's like, oh, look, you didn't do it. the money's gone.
Oh, it disintegrated. Get used to it, because that's what the government will do with CBDC, child.
It's just like FTT. It's gone.
We know how to raise kids.
Roy Scheinfeld from Greece.
Hello, Roy.
54321. And his message is milk and honey.
Milk and honey. Oh, that's what he puts in his milk and honey in the bathtub. I tried to connect with him, but it was like three times this week. And it was like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm getting a pedicure. Hold on. I mean, it's like there was something every single time.
No, he did not.
Yes. And then it was like, yes. He's like, I'm sorry that, you know, the interior designer's here. I'm redoing my boudoir.
So a mani-pedi.
A mani-pedi. Not a mani. Paws and claws, baby.
Paws and claws. Do you remember those? They used to have like the bathtub that looked like the big martini glass.
Oh yeah, Vegas.
Yeah,
I think I may have been in it once or twice with some olives.
No, that's just marinating. Yes.
Oh yeah, marinating for sure. Oh yeah.
You think he has one?
No. I think he has one. He probably has one of those. You know, like the enormous bathroom with the tub with the columns that reach the ceiling, and large
Grecian,
gold,
yeah, Grecian columns.
Grecian and large golden taps, you know, and his staff has neatly turned all of the towels into swans.
And they float them in the water.
Yes, them in the water. Thanks, Roy. We appreciate the attention. I know you're busy.
2,500 sats from Anonymous through Castomatic. Thank you, Anonymous. Jake LSTR. Jackalster. I don't know. Through Fountain, and he said, they sent us 10,000 sats. He says, love the show. It has me excited about the internet again. Sir Jake, the hard gaze knight.
The hard what? The hard days.
The hard gaze knight.
With a G?
Yeah, with a G.
Hilarious.
Words, the hard gaze knight.
I love you, Jake. You know what? But it's what he's saying is true. And that was actually a lot of comments I saw about people joining Mastodon. Wow, mm-hmm. This feels like the early days of the internet.
Yeah, it does. It does, though. Auburn Citadel, 80,057 sats.
Nice, through man. Fountain. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, and he just says, boost.
Got it.
Boost.
Thank you so much.
Mere Mortals Podcast, Mr. Kyron, sent us 10,100 sats through Fountain. And he just says, I love you guys.
Oh, I love you too, man.
Yes.
We love boost. You too, Kyron.
Mm-hmm.
Dreb Scott sent us a test boost and another test boost of 1,111 sats. Thank you, Dreb. Gene Everett, 3333 through the Fountain app, and he says, boost.
Boost, boost, boost.
Longtime Hall of Fame podcaster Dave Jackson sent us a striper boost 7777 through Castomatic.
You know?
And then he turned around and he sent another one.
So, this came up yesterday. Striper. Okay. Striper came up because one of Tina's friends sent her some lyrics, which I almost immediately recognized as Queensryche Revolution Calling from the Operation Mindcrime album.
Which is a great album.
Yeah, you were Queensryche. I mean, I loved Queensryche. And of course, I interviewed him and, you know, nice guys. And they were
that album has had a lot of good songs on it.
Never really as successful, I think, as they could have been. And actually, I'd love to find out where they're still touring. I'd love to see how they're doing. And so and Tina's like, oh, I never used to listen to this. And I said, yeah, we also, you know, I'm always making jokes about Striper on this show, but also, you know, recently went to, Tina got baptized. And so it was the first time I was in the church because I'm always working on Sunday. And so I got to see their whole show and, you know, so, and I'm always making fun about, like, you know, I'd really like this church, but I don't know, man, the Striper stuff is not doing it for me. And if I said that to the pastor, you know, he thinks it's funny. So anyway, where was I going with? Oh, so it turns out I have indeed played, Striper on Headbangers Ball, and I went back and played To Hell with the Devil, I think was the...
Yeah, that's
and
good.
And it's pretty good stuff. I mean...
It's not... To Hell with the Devil! It's not as bad as I remember.
No, not at all. And then it hit me. Now I know the problem with modern Christian music in the church, which is, you know, it's electric guitars, it's DX7, it's live drums, it's acoustic, it's everything, right? I mean, there's some good musicians. There's never a guitar solo. That's the problem.
Guitar solos don't exist anymore. They're gone. Well, they're just gone.
They need to do something that I just, you know, shred for Jesus, baby. I need something. I need something there.
Give me something. Yes.
Am I crazy? Why is that? That makes no sense.
Do you remember Venom?
Oh, yeah. Whoa, mind blown. Thank you. Yes, of course.
Death metal.
It's
like a, that was a, was it, was a, there was like Christian versions of that. I can't remember.
A Christian version?
There was like Christian death, like doom metal, death metal and stuff too. I mean, there used to be all kinds of stuff. None of that exists anymore. It's all gone.
Hmm. Metal black. Was that it? I think black metal. Hold on a second.
I'm trying to remember what band.
Lay down your soul to the gods, rock and roll.
Rock and roll and religion. Rock against religion.
Sweet.
Good stuff. It's funny you mentioned that because I'd gone back and listened. I'd accidentally listened to Stryper a while back, maybe a year ago, and I was like, you know what? That's not that bad.
Not that bad. But again, they got solos. I'm going to take this up with my pastor. Why no solo? He's a guitar player, so he should just shred. I'm going to say it. You should shred for Jesus, man.
Tank Water, 1090, 1090 sats through Fountain. No note. Thank you, Tank Water.
Thank you, Tank Water.
Nomad Joe, 1234. Through Fountain, and he says, do more push-ups.
Oh, I don't think so.
Gene Bean, Leet, 1337. He says, nice. Really enjoyed the show today.
Well, thank you, Gene Bean.
Instagram. Technical issues, sent us 6,300 sats. He says, needed to empty this wallet out before switching which account I used in Fountain, and I couldn't think of a better place to send the sats. Keep up the good work.
Excellent. Oh, thank you. Excellent idea.
Woof. Yes.
We love it when people do that. Empty your wallet on us. Spray the sats over here. Spray them.
6969 through Podverse from, hey, citizen, how many sats to get a seat at the P2.0 roundtable? Do we get an NFT of authenticity? Negative.
No.
69, dude.
Boost.
As Adam would say,
no.
The Tone Wrecker sent us 4321 through Fountain. He says, counting days as the circle of participants keeps widening in V for V. Even roadblocks in my own learning feel like play while figuring out my knowledge gaps. Also, extra thanks to Dave this past week with help on figuring out what is going on with music-related tags from RSS.com for the piles of releases I ported over onwards and upwards.
Yes, thank you.
Dovidas, our buddy over at RSS Blue, sent us 20,000 sats, and he says, I'm testing Breeze.
Oh, well, it's test a good successful. App. This new... check it out. Hold on a second. We want to order some more beef from Beef Initiative, because we have some people coming, so we want a couple of different things. And and I've always taken care of this. Tina's like, I'm gonna do this. Do I pay in fiat or Bitcoin? I said, who are you married to? And so then she said, yeah, but I don't. And she started. I'm like, okay, get the Breeze app. Which in my mind, you know, it has a great pot. In my mind, it's the best wallet for Lightning. I love the Breeze wallet for Lightning.
Best wallet that's not a wallet.
Exactly. It's a signing device, but and it's an app that understands its user community. Look at the podcast app version. You're not getting anything that is in value for value. That's a very strong statement, by the way. And I think it's a successful strategy that Roy employed there. So then I send her, 250 bucks. And we did the, you know, the QR code thing together. Boom, boom. She says, wow, that went fast. I said, yep. And then she checked out on the website. I'll pop the QR code. Boom, paid. Nice welcome. Thank you message. Work beautifully.
Oh, that's cool.
It's really cool. A great app. Now that it doesn't, you know, burn a hole in your ass when you have it running and all the other stuff. That was yeah. Yes. But talk about problematic. No, I'm just kidding.
Brian of London and the Hive DAO sent us 57,667 sats. The V4V app, and he's got some music lyrics here. Life's fantasy, to be locked away and still to think you're free. You're free. You're free. Don't know what song that's from, but was my rendition.
Yeah, well, can you do it again slowly? Is it the whole thing, please?
Life's fantasy, to be locked away and still to think you're free. You're free. You're free.
I'm going to say...
If I got locked away and we lost it all today, tell me honestly, would you still love me the same if I showed...
How about that, huh?
I sounded mostly like that.
Yes, you sound just like Adam Levine.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, I get accused of that a lot. Pfeiffer, 22-222.
Thank you.
Fountain.
Nice row of ducks there. Thank you.
Uh-huh. And he says, go podcasting.
Okay. Go podcasting!
Boobery. Boobery sent us 33-333 through the Boost Ooh, CLI. And he says, nice. Boost my toot.
Yeah, I'll boost you. I'll boost that too.
Nice. With the right amount of scissoring, you can list your mess.
How you doing, Booster?
Thanks, buddy. Okay. Thanks. All right. I thought I was bad.
With the right amount of scissoring, you can list your Masto account in the index. What could it mean? Okay, and he's got a link to podcastindex.org/5793896.
I'm not quite sure I understand what's going on with that.
Mothman of the Mini Apocalypse. I don't know what I'm looking at, but I feel like it's important.
I had the same feeling. Like, did you do something cool? I'm not quite sure what you did.
I don't know what this is.
Boost us again and let us and explain it a little more.
Yes, please. Macintosh 1111 through Fountain. He just says, "Go podcasting."
Go podcasting.
You notice, Dave, that most of the correspondence of this show, no, I'd say 99% of the correspondence of this show. It's done through boostergrams and not through email. Thank you, everybody. I love that.
Thank God for that.
Yeah, it keeps everything short, too.
Dreb, gosh, Dreb, your mind's in the gutter. Comic strip blogger, The Delimiter.
There he is.
15,033 sats through Fountain. And he says, Dave and Adam, want to keep updated about the latest developments in the world of artificial intelligence? It's easy. Just put an AI.cooking into any web browser or modern podcast app. And enjoy the offerings on display narrated by the enigmatically endearing former BBC actor and TV show developer Gregory Foreman. Yo, CSB.
Yes, Boost.
Thank you, CSB. And yep. Goof. Thank you both.
Gwiff. Monthlies. Cameron Rose, $25. Jeremy New, $5. Lauren Ball, $24.20. Podverse, $50, and Podverse's alter ego, Mitch Downey, $10.
Thank you, Mitch. And Podverse.
Christopher Harabarek, $10. Terry Keller, $5. And Soren Mueller, $5. And that's our group.
Thank you all so much. And for those who want to understand the mechanism of value for value, you just witnessed it. That's exactly how it works. Notice we did not say, hey, could you tip your podcasters? We didn't say any of that. We said, what is this worth to you? Send that. Let us know. Add a message. You can do it at podcastindex.org. We do still accept fiat fund coupons through PayPal there at the bottom. Or we prefer, our preferred method is go to newpodcastapps.com, get yourself a boost button in your app, fill her up, and start boosting away. Let us know what you think. Thank you all so much. It's really appreciated. It's mind-blowing. And I will just finish my portion today with a reminder. take that mental snapshot of where we are right now, what we've accomplished, what we've accomplished in a little more than 2 short years. And I think that when, you know, when there's news and things coming out every single day, it's happening faster now. And that's because it's just how it works. I mean, the hosting companies are the big, you know, that was the main, what is the word I'm looking for? That was really the P, and all kudos to you, Dave. I think you probably work with hosting companies the most. That's really what made it all come to life. And we're just producing content. And when I say it, that's not just audio content, it's all these, we're filling up tags, RSS feeds are adopting, being changed, upgrading. You have been part, and still are a part of a monumental shift in media. The only media left that really has a chance of surviving because of the decentralized nature of what all of you support, both of RSS as well as Bitcoin.
And it's perfect. That's a perfect outro to go home with a couple of ISOs. Strong and secure.
Okay.
As long as people remain confident that our government is strong and secure, they will continue freely to accept and spend its money without questioning the value.
That's right.
And some modern money?
Modern money, convenient to use, easy to recognize, and universally accepted for the value fixed by a stable government.
Or stable coin. your choice. Those are good. I'm going to steal those for all my other shows. Really appreciate it. Hey, Dave, may I said at the beginning, but I could not imagine a better partner in this. I really appreciate you, my friend.
Love it. You too, man.
All right. And everybody else, Troll Room, thank you so much. Everybody who's on podcastindex.social, have yourselves a great weekend. We'll be back with another board meeting. Same time, same place, Fridays, where we kick it all off. Have a great week, everybody. See you then. Bye-bye.
Podcasts are cool. You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting!
Yes, Boost.